Oh, Daryl, that was fun. That was fun, and your soul is definitely welcome here. We welcome everybody here today. We are so happy to have you here with us, especially the ones who are here for the very first time or the returnees who haven't been for a little while. We're happy to welcome you to our Friendship Sunday. So what I'd like to do is introduce you to what it is that we do here, what we teach here, what we believe, and what we practice. So we don't really have a formal declaration of beliefs or a formal creed or a formal dogma. We have some suggested ideas, but we don't have something that you have to absolutely adhere to. But what we do have is a way of looking at life, a way of living life, and it's very much centered in our heart, in love. So those of you who are here for the first time may have been a little curious, you know, what do they do in that church? So I'm hoping that as I talk this morning, that you'll be a little clearer about what it is that we do here. And so for those who are here for the first time, it may be an introduction, but for the rest of us, it may be a review, and perhaps it will even lend a little clarity to what we believe and think. So this Spiritual Enrichment Center is considered a new thought center, a new thought center. And we study the teachings of unity and the teachings of religious science, which is also called the Centers for Spiritual Living. And these groups were both founded from the same roots. They have some of the same lineage, some of the same teachers. The founders of unity were Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, back in the mid-1800s, and the founders of religious science, or the Centers for Spiritual Living, the founder was Ernest Holmes, back in the about 1920s someplace. So although the teachings have two separate organizations, the basic idea is the same. It just varies a little bit depending on the personality of the founder. So it's the only denomination that was started in the United States, and that was close to 200 years ago with the teachers of these people, the founders of Unity and Religious Science. The teachers go back over 200 years, starting with such theosophists as Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau, who wrote Walden's Pond. Now, I discovered unity first. I discovered the unity branch of this teaching first. Almost 50 years ago, I hate to tell you, I was just a baby. but I found it first, and I was delighted to find a teaching of such warmth and love and acceptance. I felt very much at home with this teaching. And so I hope that as you've come in, that you've felt that same welcoming, that same at-homeness that I experienced. It's wonderful to know that we are loved, and that God's love is a gift to all of us, that no one is excluded from that. So 10 years later, in 1977, I discovered religious science, which is now called Centers for Spiritual Living. And through that understanding, I began to understand better how the laws of God work and how that love and law works together in my life to help me have repeatable experiences of joy. So the two teachings together are a perfect mix. So I was delighted when here in Dothan we were able to work together and combine these two teachings, because they both have so much to offer us on our spiritual path. So that's our goal here, is to assist other people and ourselves on our spiritual journey through life. So when people ask us what we believe, we often refer them to the five teachings on the back of this bulletin. If you don't have a bulletin, raise your hand and Zach will be sure to get you one. Is there anybody who would like to have one? No? Okay. So these five teachings of unity are very good place to start. One is, God is absolute good, everywhere present. Human beings have a spark of divinity within them, the Christ spirit within. Their essence is of God, and therefore they also are inherently good. Human beings create their own experiences by the activity of their thinking. Everything in the manifested realm has its beginning in thought. Prayer is creative thinking, which heightens the connection with God mind. and thus brings forth wisdom, healing, prosperity, and everything good. Knowing and understanding the laws of life, also called truth, are not enough. A person must also live the truth that he or she knows. So those are some of the basic ideas that we believe in and teach and follow. So we sometimes say that we're a faith, we're a philosophy, we're a way of life. We're a faith because we teach meditation, we teach affirmative prayer, and the use of affirmations to help us feel that closeness with God. And as a philosophy, we study our thought processes and how our thinking creates our experience of our reality, and how we fit into the grand scheme of things. And as a way of life, we teach affirmative living, personal responsibility, powerful mental health maintenance, and other positive living skills. William James is considered the father of American psychology, and he called New Thought the religion of healthy mindedness. And I like that definition. I think that's something that we all want more of, healthy mindedness. So we could say that it's a very positive, affirmative way of living based on knowing that we're already one with God. We're already one with God. We just have to lift up our eyes above the illusion of separation and see the truth of the oneness. So some people call us a church. Some people call us a center. So you could say that we are a religious movement that's not limited to any particular denomination. You might think of us as a new kind of church where anybody can come, regardless of their tradition or their past, and find a closer connection to God. And we take the Bible very seriously, but not literally. There's a difference. So we also honor the sacred scripture of other faiths, and we find value and meaning in their wisdom and truth. Because we believe that spiritual truths run through every great spiritual and religious tradition. It's not limited to one path only. But because we're a Western teaching, and most of us were raised in a Judeo-Christian tradition, we usually feel most connected to the biblical scriptures, the teachings in the Bible. So that's where most of our sacred references come from. We're inclusive of all that's good and loving. We affirm and declare that God is good and God is love. We also emphasize the impersonal nature of God, that God is law, God is principle. Just like electricity is a principle, it's impersonal, but it's also a divine attribute of our lives. We know that God has laws, spiritual laws, that we have to understand so that we can work within them instead of just going our own arrogant way and running into all kinds of problems and obstacles. We try to align ourselves with the principles and the power of God in love so that we can live a life of balance between love and law. In religious science, we say that we're spiritual scientists. We're trying to understand these spiritual laws and principles so that we can have repeatable experiences of good. We say that life is a mirror and it reflects back to us what we put into it. In the South, we say what goes around comes around, right? Well, it's also the golden rule that what you put out comes back to you. And so when we understand it that way, it makes it very easy and desirable to adhere to the golden rule of putting things out there to others that we want to experience in our own lives. And we know that we all want to feel love and accepted. So naturally, we want to give that love and acceptance to other people too. We have a deep reverence and a connection to the life and teachings of Jesus the Christ. We study what Jesus taught about God and love, and not necessarily the way it was interpreted by the church through the ages. We try to go back to the horse's mouth, so to speak, and see what was he really saying, what was he really teaching about love and inclusion. And that's the teaching that we desire and aim to follow. We believe that Jesus is the great example of living in oneness with God, and that he came to teach each of us how to do the same thing. And so when he said, follow me, we don't think he meant worship him. we think he meant follow the example of how I understand God to be in life and do the same thing, and you will find the same oneness that I have found. So that's our understanding of Jesus' relationship to God, and therefore our relationship that he came to teach us about. So one of the questions that people sometimes ask is, do you believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ? Well, yes, we absolutely do. In fact, we believe in the divinity of all people. So we don't leave anyone out in that regard. And the word Christ, the term Christ, is referring to oneness with God. Oneness with God. So the Christ Spirit unites us all in the oneness with all of humanity. So when we say our Christ consciousness affirmation, we are speaking through that awareness of our oneness with God, that Christ consciousness, which is what Jesus lived from. Jesus attained that full oneness with the consciousness of the divine. And that's what we're aspiring to and working toward, is a deeper connection, a deeper understanding of that. Since we live in a Western culture, we refer to Jesus as Jesus the Christ. Christ wasn't his last name. It was a description of the consciousness that he was living in. And we believe that the divine plan in our lives is good. It's good in every way. We believe that we're supposed to have good health. We're supposed to have prosperity. We're supposed to have peaceful relationships. And we're supposed to have a joyful, creative expression in life. And that we can have those things by understanding and living in oneness with that divine life. So in our teaching, we are free to practice other religions if we desire to. Whether we study them or practice them or whatever, we invite all enrichment in our lives, whatever is important and meaningful to us. We have no restrictions about that. Everybody's free to practice their own spirituality at the level of their own belief and desire. Instead of saying, here's a creed, this is what you have to believe, instead, we say, here are some ideas that masters and people have found work for them. Check them out, explore them in your own life, and see what works in your life. So you're personally responsible for your finding your own path, your own way to the divine. So our teachings are more like a set of directions, a set of directions that you can follow to find your way back to a harmonious and joyous relationship with the divine. And we consider our teachings as a harmonizing, strengthening teaching that's accepting of all faiths. So our central ministry is prayer. We're probably the prayingest people on the planet because we believe that nothing is impossible to God. We believe that this good can happen in every aspect of our lives. Like our reading that Genevieve read, it doesn't always happen exactly the way we decided it should, but if we will let go and trust, our good will come into our life in a myriad of different and wonderful ways. We believe that God intends for us all to excel in our lives in all areas. So we're open to this good in every way. We don't limit ourselves and say, well, this is just the way it's going to be for me. We're always aspiring to greater good in our lives. We don't limit the power of God to heal, to align, or to change anything. And our teachings are a day-to-day application of spiritual principles to daily problems. It's not just something we do on Sundays. It's something that we take out into our lives and live in every part of our lives all the time, every day. So that takes a lot of personal accountability and personal responsibility to realize that you're the one in the driver's seat in your life. You're the one who's making your choices and living your life the way that works the best. So the word unity says it all. We're all inclusive. No one is left out. And the name New Thought is interesting because really there's nothing new about New Thought. This is an ancient teaching. It predates Christianity. It predates, it goes all the way back to the classical philosophers, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato. We're teaching these very same truths. And so it goes back thousands of years in time, and we've taken the thread of truth through all of the different religions and philosophies and teachings and science to bring it into a creative way of living our lives right here and right now. So we often say we're open at the top because we're open to receive new revelations, new understandings, new experiences as science and as the great thinkers have revealed. So the term new thought doesn't come from the fact that it's a new teaching. It comes from a different place. It comes from the idea that when you take in a new thought, you get a new experience. If you keep thinking the same old thoughts, the same old beliefs, you're going to keep getting the same old thing in your life. But if you take in a new thought, a new idea, you're going to get a new perception, a new understanding, and therefore a new experience. So in our times of meditation, which we're big on, we're listening for that new thought, for that inspiration, for that understanding, for that greater realization of our oneness. We're always open to that understanding. And so we have to let those thoughts and ideas take form in our lives. We can't just listen and then do nothing about it. We listen and then we act. We take the next step, whatever we're directed to do, so that we can bring forth the next good in our lives. So often when we're praying, we will say, what step is next for me? What do I do next? Because we know that we're not always going to see the big picture. It doesn't work like that in life usually, where we see the whole thing unfolding. Usually it's a step at a time. We just follow that little thread of light a step at a time until the greater whole is revealed. There was a time when I really got this. It was about, I won't tell you how many years ago. It was a long time ago. Our children were little, and they're now fully grown. And Marvin was making a big career change in his life, in our lives. And I was home taking care of two little children. They were about 3 and 5. And I wanted to somehow contribute to our financial situation, but I didn't know how that looked. I was trained as a teacher, but I couldn't see myself quite yet getting back into that with the responsibilities with the children. So I was just kind of praying about that. What can I do? How is this going to work out? And Janet, our oldest, was in afternoon kindergarten, and John was in preschool, an afternoon preschool. So I took them to school one day after lunch, and then I came back home, and I kind of collapsed on the couch. Any young mother understands how that feels when you have a few minutes to yourself for the first time in hours and hours and hours. So I just kind of collapsed on the couch, and as soon as I did relax, this voice within me said, get up and go to the school. Well, that was about the last thing I wanted to do, but I was the PTA fundraiser, and there were some things that I could talk to the principal about, so I got up, I went to the school, and she was able to see me. So I'm sitting in her office, we're talking about some fundraising projects, and she got a telephone call. And she excused herself for a minute so she could talk on the phone. And as she's talking, I mean, I'm sitting there, I couldn't help but hear, and I heard her say, yes, the school secretary job is coming open. Yes, it's been reduced to half-time to a part-time position. Yes, I will be advertising for that job and hiring someone. So she hung up, and I said, I couldn't help but hear that you were going to be hiring a part-time school secretary. Well, I have office skills, and I would love to work in a part-time position. She hired me on the spot. So I got that job, and then a little later on during the year, a teaching position came open. She moved me into that position, and then the next year I got another full-time position of my very own. So I thought, wow, that was the answer to my prayer. I listened, and even though I didn't want to, it would have been easy to say, oh, I'm just going to rest here on the couch. I'm not going to get up and do that. That thing within me pushed me to do that, and so I did that. But how many times do we let obstacles stand in our way, and we talk ourselves out of our inner guidance instead of just listening? If I hadn't been there in that very moment, if I hadn't gotten up that very moment and gone, I would have missed that phone call. I would never have known that that position was available. It could have changed the course of my whole career, who knows? But I was there, and I was very grateful to have heard that guidance and had that leading. So sometimes when we're praying for a change in our lives, nothing seems to happen. Has that ever happened to you? You pray for a change, you pray and pray and pray, and nothing seems to happen. Well, sometimes it just has to take some time. We have to wait for things to line up in a certain way. I had been praying about that, about a way to financially contribute for a while, and nothing seemed to be happening. And then all of a sudden, everything lined up just right for that perfect thing for me to get. So we have to remember that God is always in time and on time. There's never anything delayed. Right, my friend? Yes. So I could have said something like, well, I'm a teacher. I don't want to take a part-time secretary position. You know, but no, that was the right thing for me. That was the right path, and it led me to the next best thing. So this or something better is always a good thing to say, just like our reading said. So the next time that you feel stuck in some area, go within. Go to that secret place of the Most High within you and say, I feel stuck. I feel stuck in this area, and I need a new thought. Please give me one. Listen for that new thought. The Bible says, speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak. So we have to speak and listen and then do what we're guided to do. Ask, what step am I to take next? What is my next step? And then trust that out of the darkness you will get guidance leading you onward, leading you forward. But you have to listen, and then you have to act. Nothing happens until you do something. So where do you need a new thought in your life? Where do you need to know that the presence and power greater than you are is always ready to deliver your good? When you come to a new thought center, many people have a feeling that something special is going on here. There's an accepting community where modern-day mystics, that's what we all are. We're all modern-day mystics. We're going within and letting that guidance within us help us find the truth in our life. We're not looking to somebody else for their wisdom, although we can spark each other in that area. We're really listening for our own guidance. So we're all modern-day mystics. We're here to continue our spiritual exploration and our spiritual evolution. This is a place where we can paint outside the lines. We can do it our way. So while we embrace the very best of our Christian heritage, we also celebrate the great truths that are found in other faith paths and traditions. We are being called to consciously participate in humankind's spiritual evolution. It's a gentler, kinder, and more loving way of being. The truth is that what we teach here is not new. We don't claim to have any special revelations or discovery of new religious principles. Our purpose is simply to help and to teach humankind to use and to prove the eternal truths that are taught by the Master and by all the Masters. That, in a condensed form, is what we do here at the Spiritual Enrichment Center. And we welcome all people to join us. There's the Sunday service at 11 every week. There's A Course in Miracles at 9:45, meditation at 10:30, and also Wednesday night at 6 in the back building, we have a study and discussion group. So did everyone who's here for the first time get a welcome packet? Anybody need one? Okay. So if you have any questions, please ask me, our practitioners, one of our board members, and that information is found, the contact information is found in the bulletin and in the packet. So we welcome you here. Thank you very much. Namaste.